Hey, Katie.
Hey, Tay.
I was about to say, I'm going to issue an apology for this week's episode and the last 2 weeks because I'm still sniffly and I feel like I know it and I know it's annoying because I like listened back like last week and I heard like myself being like, so I'm apologizing in advance. I'm trying to not do it, but it's winter and I'm a little sniffly.
So it's funny because that's something you noticed. I don't think I noticed your sniffling. I don't think anyone from my job follows this page, so I will say what I'm going to say. And someone can easily circle back and be like, Katie, this is something you do also, so hush. So feel free to completely throw this back in my face if you'd
like. I mean, you know, I'll call you out if I think that you do it.
Here's one. So I work with a specific team when new clients are brought on. This lady is absolutely wonderful. I think she's a stellar person, both in front of the client and then when her and I are chatting on the side. This is just no ill will towards this person. But the way she speaks, she says the words word after every two words. Because there was one meeting where I literally counted to the point where I have to turn my volume down. Because it's, to me, I almost feel like I miss the message because I'm like, oh my gosh, just... Do you not read, like, I will catch myself if I say, or I try to catch myself, I should say, if I say like or too much, especially when I'm client facing or just in certain conversations.
Yeah. I'll say at work, I'm way more cognizant of it.
Yes.
Here, I throw out like every other word and whatever.
Yes. Like social fun stuff, do what you want. But there's times where she's trying to explain like a product or something. And I honestly get off the call and I'm like, I don't know what the hell just happened because I think I was counting her ums and like getting sweaty and irritated.
Yeah, I used to work with this woman, honestly, like so nice and like really, really good at her job, but she would end every sentence with, I don't even like know how to really do it. She'd be like, yeah, like kind of like something like that. Like after every time she would like finish a point.
Oh, no.
and I like, I would like look around like, is anybody else noticing that she's doing this? And then I brought it up to my one coworker and he was like, no, I never noticed. And then he was like, oh my God, now that you brought it up, like it's all that I notice. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you didn't notice that beforehand because it's glaringly obvious, but kind of different, kind of the same. Just like a weird tick, I guess.
I mean, we all have them.
Yeah.
But I play with my hair. There's some things where I'm like, yeah, maybe we should be a little bit more. Actually, the person who manages the team that I'm on, I'm a fan of the way she speaks. She actually, like, you could tell she physically slows herself down. So whenever she's on a call, I'm like, oh, girl, you have to sound more like Jacqueline. Like, she literally slows, but it's not, like, super slow to the point where, like, girl, just get it out. But it's enough where she, I don't think I've ever heard her say, like, or, I mean, it's also probably why she is who she is in the company. But I'm just saying, I'm like, I need to channel that energy and chill instead of being like.
My mouth moves faster than my brain, so. But yeah, I've been told, and I'm doing it right now, I've been told that that's been like professional feedback that I've gotten is that I play with my hair too much and I like twirl my hair.
It's so easy. I touch my hair all the time too. It's so
people
bad.
People call me out for it all the time. I think your sister even said one time, she's like, yeah, I noticed that you like are always like this, like how I just like kind of like my like one like strand underneath, I just like brush it out.
And, like, and I get to tell you like, Teresa, what do you like? You touch your hair a lot.
Yeah, but my boss was like, you touch your hair, like, a lot. And I was like, I'm petting myself. It's self-soothing.
Self-soothing.
I mean, anyway, we're here to talk about The Rom-Commers by Catherine Senner, which I think if you guys were listening, we were very openly discussing if we were going to read this or not. And I'm happy that we did.
Me too. I really liked this. I bought the physical copy.
I bought the physical copy. I'm actually going to pull up Amazon right now because I was like, okay, I'm trying to be better. I just need to go get my like my library card renewed so I can look on Libby. Again, this I think would probably have had a hold on it. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to look and I'm going to see if there's like, you know, the Kindle version. I'll save some money. I don't need the physical. Well, this is before I read it. I didn't need the physical copy. The Kindle version, of course, I'm on the app, so now it's not telling me the price.
Hold on, I'll tell you, because I have the Kindle and the physical, but the physical I bought off of Pango.
Okay, so, yeah, you give me the Kindle price. The paperback on Amazon is $18.94. The hardcover was $14.50.
And
I think the Kindle was $13.99.
$14.99.
Yeah, okay, so the Kindle, like, the hardcover was the cheapest option.
Yes.
So then I was like, okay, like, let me just look on Barnes & Noble, because if it, and they were doing the 50% off, like, mm-hmm. hardcover, and they had, like, the pretty sprayed edges yes, on Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
So I ordered it, and I went and picked it up at the store, because I was like, it's literally cheaper for me to buy yes. it at Barnes & Noble than to do it on Amazon. And the Kindle being more expensive than the hardcover is freaking crazy.
Wasn't I texting about this, like, a couple days ago?
We were all discussing it in the group chat.
I have been reading on the Kindle, my Kindle, way more than I ever have, just because it's a heck of a lot easier, especially when I can really only sit down to read at night. We will segue into the fact that I have these cool sconces picked out, so this way I could still be like, either way, I'll probably still hold my Kindle.
Yeah, but it's easier when you're lying down.
It's so much easier when you're lying down, and I'm very intimidated by, like, a thicker book, like Quicksilver, the paperback. It's thick. I don't want to hold that and read it at night. Second, I also don't want to disrupt my husband, who might be laying down and sleeping while I'm trying to still read. Mm-hmm. So when we picked this book to read, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the Kindle version. I remember, like, looking at the price and being like, excuse me? Like, I understand authors have to make money. I fully understand that concept. But $15 for a Kindle version? Like an I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't feel good about it.
I mean me either.
And, like, it just, I'm sorry, if the paperback is 18 and the hardcover is 14, which, again, that's still weird. But if that's the case, the Kindle should not be more than $6. Like, $7 max, I still think that's a little too much. Because you can't even, I can't even share a Kindle book with you.
No. And I think maybe if Amazon did something where you could share ebooks, maybe I'd be okay with, like, the purchase price.
And I know somebody's going to come in here and be like, oh, you can. Some books, I think you can. It's like a 2-week thing. If you have a family plan, then you can share. But if I want to share with Katie, a lot of books you can't share via Kindle.
Correct. And most of the time, I'm not sharing with family. It'd be sharing with friends. So it's just,
right, yeah.
I don't know. Charge me what you want for the, and I ended up buying the hardcover, the Barnes & Noble one also. It was off of Pango, is listed as brand new, which it did come beautifully packaged and everything. So it looked good. But still, like, that's, like, I don't know. I don't want to spend close to $30 on a book all in because I wanted to read it on the Kindle and then wanted the physical trophy. I guess that's my own problem, but still.
But still, the Kindle should just not be that expensive. Like, that's period, end of discussion. Like, still, a Kindle book.
I'm with you. Like, it should be, I'm with you. $7 is still a lot, but I'd rather pay $7 for any Kindle book.
They used to be like $3.99, which makes sense. It's a PDF. There's no printing cost or, like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't know enough about the industry. I just don't think that there's a lot of cost that goes into producing a Kindle version of a book. So I just don't think that they need to be $14.99.
Is it your internet or my internet that's sucking right now?
Yes, it's mine. Hold on. Our internet is being... Are you there? Oh, hey.
Okay, hi. I was like, is this me or is this you?
It's me. I Dang just have it. To go to get off the internet. I'll get off Wi-Fi. Thanks. Sorry, guys. I'll edit that out.
I'll edit that
out. Oh, okay. If it happens again, just wait for me. Anyway, to get off of our high horses, Anywho. Like I said, we're talking about The Rom-Commerce by Catherine Tenner. So the story follows Emma and Charlie. It's so funny. I did not realize her name was Emma because, like, they don't really say her name. But she is.
I feel like I was like, I know his name, but who is she?
You know, I didn't know her name. I feel like until like 50% into the book.
Yeah.
But she's like a, she is a hopeless romantic, like fan of the rom-coms. She wants to be a writer in Hollywood, but there's like a terrible accident where her mother dies and her father becomes like kind of permanently disabled. And she kind of gives up her opportunity to go to this like writing program so that she can stay home to care for father and to care for sister, who's a few years younger than her. And basically like 10 years dedicates her life to her father's like well-being. And her best friend from high school gets her basically involved in a script rewrite with her favorite director, Charlie, who typically writes, I guess, like more like serious films, but he has been tasked with writing a rom-com as like a bargaining chip to get his mafia movie produced. I was taking notes while I was reading.
Oh, look at you.
Like, I know, which I never do, but I was like, oh, I want to remember this. So my first thing that I want to bring up is you could tell that this was written by, like, I don't know how old she is, but I could just tell that she's like an elder millennial.
Yes.
Because of the outfits.
Yes.
And the first time I was like, oh.
Lisa always notices an outfit in a book.
I do. Okay. Page 22. This is her first time meeting, like, her favorite director, who she's, like, obsessed with, but also kind of has a crush on. Mm-hmm. She goes, I overthought my outfit, too. Jeans and Converse low tops with a little boat neck printed blouse. Was this too casual, too cutesy, not badass enough? Should I maybe put on a gunmetal gray suit and some aviator shades? Girl, none of that.
Neither. See, none of the above.
No. What? I was like, I read that and I was just like, oh, so this person does a cute little boat. Oh my God. And your low top Converse. I have no problem with low top Converse, but like, thinking that that's like a fashion statement.
It's not an outfit. Okay. I wear all black. I don't have any fashion sense. I'm a basic bitch. But I would not choose that outfit to wear to meet my favorite author or director or anyone that was a favorite of mine.
Listen, I'm sorry. Basics. Basics. Yes. Especially as an author. Beautiful. Just put these women in basics. Mm-hmm. And then at the end in the dress, this dress with the palm leaves on it. I was like, did she get this in fucking Boca Raton? Like, is she a 70-year-old retired woman in Boca? Like, the dress they were describing, I was like, oh my God, what is this? Anywho, that was my first
note. And what's funny is on the cover, she's in a very basic outfit. I like their outfits on the cover.
Oh yeah, same.
But again, like, I just don't understand. Yeah, I'm with you. Not my favorite.
No. That was my first note of the book. Anyway.
I digress. I actually just finished my cup of coffee. You know what I will say? The female main character, she's someone who's kind of taken on this mother role. She's kind of adopted the persona that I will handle everything. She's become type A to like the max, mm-hmm. right? I do think these are almost like one of the hardest characters to write because you don't want to take that away from them because it basically is their entire personality of who they are. But you almost need to like, instead of being like so jagged, you just need to like smooth out their edges, right?
Yeah.
I think she did a really nice job for her character growth because there's nothing really wrong per se with her, but you still need something to occur with her throughout the whole book. Beg, borrow, and steal, I will say the main character is the exact same way. Like, there's nothing really wrong with her, but you just got to like smooth her out a little bit. I think you're the hardest characters to write. So I commend anyone who tries to do it and does it well. And yeah. I do like how they both balanced each other out, but kept like their core personality the same at the end.
Yeah. And like Charlie is not like he's difficult. Like there were so many times where I was getting so mad at her. Like again, I was getting mad at Emma for Charlie's actions basically, where I was like, why are you making dinner for this man who literally is like being mean mm-hmm. to you? I was like, stand up for yourself. Like I was getting so mad because yeah, like there's sometimes when I'm reading a book where I'm like, no, he's just hurting. Like, don't push him away too. But then there's other times like in here, I was like, stand up for yourself, girlfriend. He's not nice enough to you to be able to be mean once in a while and like not have you stand up for yourself.
Agreed.
And like,
there are so many times in the book where I was like, girl, just throw it back at him. Or just like completely like, F you, I'm going to shut down now, do my own thing, see when I see. Like, I'm not going to breach the contracts. I want this money.
Right. Like,
but like, yeah.
The dinner that she like makes for him for his like 5 years cancer free / like birthday celebration or whatever. And she makes the dinner and he like isn't showing up. If that was me, I would have left the dinner out so he knew that I made it.
Yep.
And then I would have left the house. I would have probably just went and pretended like I was going out, but I would have just went and probably stayed at a hotel so he didn't know where I was. And he'd just do all night worrying about me and like what I was doing. I wouldn't have sat there and waited for him all night and been like, you didn't show up. Oh, God, no, car, girl, like, leave. Like, stand up for yourself.
Yeah, like, see you, bye. Like, not leaving. I'm not breaking any contracts. I'm not doing anything wrong. But, like, you don't get the, like, the satisfaction of walking back into this house and as if I'm, like, waiting around for you.
Right, yeah. Like, I just didn't want her to, like, give all. And then she does the whole, like, waiting around thing. And then she propositions him again.
Yep.
And he rejects her again. Which, like, I understand why. But then he rejects her again. And she's still, like, I'm like, no, he... You propositioned him. He rejected you. You made the dinner. He never showed up. You do not proposition him again. No. And put yourself out there again. I was getting so frustrated. I was like, make this man beg.
Suffer. Like, I would have started walking around in really nice, tight outfits. Like, doing my hair. Like, I get it. You got to say, I completely understand you can't walk away from this. But then make him hurt while you walk in those rooms.
And like, or
even
right.
Like leave and like make him stew as to where you're going. Like, even if you went out for a few hours and needed to return, but then go MIA for a little bit, and then make your back, go right into your room. Like, shut the door. Don't if he's waiting for you at a certain time downstairs to work. Oh, I'm not gonna work right now. I'm gonna work later. See you later. Bye.
Yeah,
like, you gotta stand your ground, girlfriend.
I was getting so mad. She was just like not standing her ground, and like. I also was getting so annoyed with her because of the way that she was like kind of, listen, I understand that her dad like had like the injury and like had like some physical disabilities and everything, but mentally he was like very with it.
Of sound mind.
And I understand like the, the anxiety that she felt with like leaving him because the trauma of the accident, which we'll get to in a second, but like kind of like the way that she was like talking to her sister, like when her sister was like, oh, her boyfriend's there or whatever, and she was like, you can't have him there, this is a full-time job, you have to watch him all the time. Like, I was like, he's a grown man.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Yeah.
He, like, I'm sure, like, she was like, oh, I never, like, okay, when the axe, like when the dad falls down the stairs and the sister's at the beach. And she's like, I never got to go to the beach. Like, in 10 years, I never got to go to the beach because I have to be with dad 100% of the time. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. He's, like, functioning enough that he does not need you there. Like, yes, that's your own anxiety. But she was being so mean to her sister. And then what really pissed me off, I have to find what page it is. I actually don't even think I need to know what page it is. Okay, so when the accident happens and the dad falls down the steps, we'll get to the other accident in a minute, but when the dad falls down the steps... And she's on the phone with her sister and she's getting mad at her sister for going to the beach to get engaged and leaving the dad with the neighbor, which is he's an adult. Like, it was an accident, whatever. Anyway, yeah. And she's like, if something happens to him, if he dies, it's your fault. And then the sister is like, okay, if that's the case, then mom dying is your fault. And Emma acted as if her saying that was like the most wretched thing in the world. And yes, that is. Yeah. But she only said that to Emma because of what Emma said to her. And Emma took no responsibility for her being like, for her saying to her sister first, oh, if dad dies, it's your fault. Like, then you killed dad. And then was like, oh, like, I can't believe that she would say this to me. And like, she hasn't apologized yet. And I don't know if I can forgive her. You did the exact same thing. Except that like your dad ended up happening to recover. But I'm like, you started the fight.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the sister ended up actually apologizing first.
And like profusely. And Emma, I don't think ever apologizes to her for saying it. And I was
messed up. Your own anxiety, again, maybe you're harboring some responsibility for your mother's passing. And again, tragic, you watched it happen, you saw it, I'm sure you remember it, but you don't get to throw that in your sister's face and then be the victim when it's thrown back in yours.
Right, okay, this is what she says. She goes, Emma says, I don't even know what to do with you right now, but I know one thing for sure. If dad dies, if your trip to the beach kills our father, you will never see me again, guaranteed. So then Sylvie says, if my trip to the beach kills our father, we'll be even because your trip to the mountains killed our mom. Both of those are fucked up statements, but one instigated the other.
Yes. Because Sylvie has never once said that in all the years past.
No.
To her sister that this is what it is. And I get it. Like, she's clearly harboring some sense of responsibility. So that drives her entire action of literally hovering like a psycho over her father.
Yep.
Taking away anything good from her life because she's got to sit there and basically watch this man live and then never do anything for herself. But you're right. Like, he's okay mentally. And I think he's well enough to have probably, and he probably had, like, again, these aren't real people, but like, I'm sure she could have left. He's like, I'll stay here. Don't worry. I won't do stairs or anything. Like, and if I really do need something, I'll call the neighbor down the street or whatever it is, or next door. I mean, even the Warner Brothers thing, I think if she actually came out and said, this is like a dream of mine, could I please go? I can't see why her dad would be like, no.
I don't think that her staying or her sitting around and not even going to the beach or going out on dates or like going out with friends had anything to do with her dad telling her like, you can't leave. I'm pretty sure that he probably wanted to like kick her out the door. And he he's mobile. Like he's mobile. He's able to go up and down stairs with help. So it's not like he's completely stuck in the apartment or unable to, if there's an emergency, make a phone call.
Exactly.
So yeah, she definitely put a lot of it on herself, and it has to do with the guilt of like the family wanted to go to the beach, she wanted to go to the mountains. Because she wanted to go to the mountains, that's when the mom died. So I get she's harboring that, but
yeah, I can't say what I would do in that situation, but I'm with you. Like, if you throw that nasty comment out at your sister and she throws a nasty one back, you can't sit there and be like, I'll never gonna, like, you both need to apologize. What you both said is fucked up. So both own it and say you're sorry, but you're right. Like, because Sylvie did and she didn't, I don't think that's, grow up, girlfriend.
Now, since we're on the topic of the accident, when the mom fell, I don't think I was, like, ready to read. Okay, so the mom and dad are, like, kind of, like, rock climbing. The dad's holding I don't know the right words for it, but he's holding, like, the rope. There's, like, a rock slide. The dad gets hit with a rock, passes out, and, like, kind of, like, lets go of the rope. And I guess the mom also gets hit with a rock, and she falls. And since there's no slack, she plummets to her death. But the girls are, like... Is Tom laughing at plummets to her death?
He's just, like, looking at me like you're, like... making faces and dancing.
Okay, so a series of clacks coming from high on the rock face, almost like fireworks, is what they're hearing. And then an unearthly clump sound right at the base of the rocks. I didn't see her fall. I didn't see the rock that hit my dad either. So basically, like, the unearthly clump sound is her mom's body, it's like, hitting the ground.
Yeah. Yes.
And then she has to, like, run down the mountain to get help and, like, leaves Sylvie basically being like, do not go over there and do not look.
Yeah.
Which is terrible and so traumatic. So, like, I get that there's a lot of trauma there that needs to be unpacked.
100%. I still, again, maybe it's a sister thing, because I mean, we don't have tragic deaths in our family, but, like, Jean and I have 100% said nasty things to each other, but that doesn't mean whoever says it first shouldn't apologize.
It's definitely a sister thing.
Oh, it's 100% a sister thing. You cut deep and you cut hard.
Yeah, no. Basically, when I'm annoyed with my brother, it's definitely a sister thing, because I'll be like, you're so annoying. Actually, it's probably, I'm, like, never mean to him, but he's just like, okay.
Like, whatever. Yeah, I mean, I will say now, because we're 34.
Yeah, it's different when you're adults.
We don't do those things. As middle schooler to a high schooler and back, yeah, like, it was the heavy debt. I will say once she was in college, there was no need to be nasty. We weren't that bad with each other, but there was, like, but then, like, it's like that, those memes where it's like, you say something nasty, you hate each other, you say, never ever enter my room again, I hate you, goodbye, and then, like, 10 seconds later, I'm like, hey, can I borrow your sweater? And, like, it's all gone.
But all of my friends
to me, smacker.
Yeah, most of my friends in high school all had older sisters, so I, like, experienced it through them. Every time I'd go there, they're like, they'd be like, yell, were you in my closet? Do you, like, did you take my and I'd just be like, hee.
There was one instance where Gina got pissed off that I wasn't letting her borrow something from my closet. I could drive. She could, obviously couldn't. She was lodging with me. I took said piece of clothing, probably like a shirt, put it in my car, and I will never forget. She ran out of the house in the middle of the winter, no shoes on or anything, jumped on the hood of my car, and in my first escape, I still backed the fuck out of that goddamn driveway and started driving down the road. And she was literally dangling, and our neighbor saw it. Finally, I was like, you gotta get off my car, because I'm doing, like, 10 miles an hour. I'll never forget getting home and seeing my mother, like, what the fuck is wrong with the two of you? Like, how dare you do this?
Embarrassing her in front of the freaking neighborhood.
Like, I don't even raise you two to be like this. Like, never fucking do this again.
I'm dying. That doesn't surprise me.
No, it shouldn't.
No. Oh, man.
Okay, so we're nitpicking Emma a little bit.
I was gonna say, yeah, let's nitpick Charlie.
He's got fucking problems. He's got issues.
It's funny because I think she did a great job writing this, like, super, like, artsy film bro who's, like, very, like, kind of like a little, he's a little kooky. He has his quirks. He's cute, but he's also quirky, and in, like, a, in kind of like a, ooh, kind of way. Like, ooh, go get therapy kind of way. But.
I clip that.
But it's true.
It is so true. he needs someone to talk to.
He really does. I mean, like, the fact that the whole time he's, like, calling his ex-wife his wife, but then, like, he hates her.
Not bothered, right? Yeah.
So yeah, like, so weird. And, like, they seemed like not, like, a great, I don't know, just, yeah, that was, like, a quirk that I was like, ooh, I don't think I like this. And then again, he was diagnosed with soft tissue cancer, I believe. Mm-hmm. And on the day he got the diagnosis is the day that his wife was like, I am divorcing you. But she still cared about him. They just, like, weren't in love with each other. So yeah. She kind of, like, was there for him, like, through, I guess, like, parts of his journey through, like, going into remission. And then, like, I guess, like, once a month, she, like, basically, like, shows up at his house to, like, take him to dinner to, like, make sure that he's, like, leaving his house.
They strike me more as, like, they were never compatible romantically, but they could have been really good friends. Like, they could be good friends.
That's kind of the vibe I got from them.
Yeah.
And he... He just, like, kind of, like, never recovered from that. Because when he was a kid, he, like, almost drowned. And I think so when he was a kid, he, like, loved magic. So him and his sister were, like, doing, like, Houdini-type stunts, and he almost drowned. And that same night was, like, the night that his parents said they were going to get divorced. And he kind of basically is, like, oh, like, every time, like, I'm sick or, like, something happens, like, a woman who's important in my life leaves.
Yeah.
So you could, like, it was so evident to me that he was so smitten with Emma, like, from the beginning.
Yes. Like, so taken aback by her. Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, kind of didn't know what to do with that. I love how he's, like, kind of rude to her, and she's kind of rude to him, but then they're also, like, bantering and, like, respecting each other. But, like,
yeah.
When he's kind of, like, begging her to stay in the beginning, I was like, oh, this man is in Simp City. Like, yes. He loves her.
You know what I did like about him, though? Like, he took the criticism of what she had for him so well. Like, I will say quirkiness, was he mean? Yes. Did he? There were some parts where I was like, what? Like, but I think that also just because he lacks social cues. Like, he's kind of, he has friends, but I feel like he's also kind of, like, backed himself into the corner of, like, this is who I am. I've made my money. Take it or leave it. Like, I'm, like, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of is, like, down on himself, but not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in certain areas, like, hey, like, I'm really good at what I do, but, like, I'm really down about X, Y, and Z. But, like, I want to be the best, so, like, I will take anything you have to say to me.
Yeah.
So, like, when he showed up the next day, he's like, no, rip me apart. Like, tell me everything. Like, he took it in stride, which was, like, honestly, that's
I think that's you. Why that's he liked her, too, because she, one, wasn't afraid to give him feedback, and he, like, realized that she really knew what she was doing.
Yes.
And he, like, respected her feedback, which I thought was, like, really nice. And they did. They worked so well together. Like, as writing partners, there was, I mean, there was, like, that was when they were at their best. There was no tension or, no, I'm the real director and I know better. I mean, he had his, he's a little bit of a, an elitist, a little bit. Yes, when it comes to, like, the directing community.
Well, and, like, imagine being, having that kind of a personality, winning award, you are an award winner director type of a person, and this super fan shows up at your door and is like, I've never done anything with writing, but, like, I'm gonna rip apart your manuscript. Like, I don't blame his reaction at first, because it's like, I do the same thing to him, like, get the fuck off my front porch. Like, who are you? But then when he kind of read her work, it was more of like a, oh shit, like, she does know what she's doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I liked them both. Even though we're nitpicking, I really did like this story. This is a really good story.
You know, I gave this, like, this is a 4.25 star book for me. I just, like, I love nitpicking.
Mm-hmm. Same. Well, I mean, what else would we talk about? Oh my god, this is amazing. Read it. Okay, like.
Yeah. Girl, no. I also thought it was so funny. Two things, but one, that everybody, like, all the directors and actors' names are all made up, and then there's just, like, Meryl Streep. Because and I was like, yeah, queen. That makes sense. Queen.
Yeah. Queen.
And then dying. We have to, I would be remiss if I did not mention Cuthbert the guinea pig.
He was so obsessed with that damn fucking guinea pig.
I'm so
and he
sad.
Went to the wife's house, like, it's like sharing a dog, but it's a guinea pig. Like, oh, he's got to go to, like, my ex-wife's house now.
Yeah. Cuthbert's brother died, and Cuthbert was not doing well. He was very depressed because guinea pigs are pack animals. And he had his little hut, and he would just sit there and while they typed. And then at the end, he doesn't make it. He dies.
I know. It's so sad.
It really is. I have guinea pig trauma, so.
You do have guinea pig trauma. Where's my. I'm pulling up my Goodreads really quickly. Oh, I also like that they call out, like, tying the shoelaces, double knots, not just bunny ears. Like, that's not how he knows how to tie shoes. I'm 34, and I have no idea how to tie shoes that are not with bunny ears.
Oh, I do bunny ears. Double knotted bunny ears, but I do bunny ears.
Double knotted bunny ears all day, every day, because single knots, they fall right the fuck out, and I will trip over my shoelaces and die.
Yeah.
But I do not know how to do the loop, swoop, and pull.
No, honestly, why would you? Bunny ears works.
So why change
what
works?
Listen, it's like writing in cursive versus writing just, like, regular print. Ugh, it's so much easier to just write regular print. Don't overcomplicate it with that loop, swoop, and pull bullshit.
Why are we doing loop, swoop, and pull? It never works. There's always one bunny ear a little bit bigger than the other.
Hey,
and it's not even tight.
I'm 36, and I've been bunny earsing my whole life, and I've never had an issue.
Same.
TJ, I got this. This is my trauma. This is my childhood trauma coming out. When he says, "Welcome to Hollywood," you're gonna need to get that hair straightened. My childhood trauma literally like resurfaced, and guys, this is me.
We are victims. Okay, hold on. Let's back up a little. Well, you do have very curly hair, and yes, you had a fro. But like, we are victims of the era of when the straightener first came out, the Conairs. If you like, I had a purple one. It was lilac. So if anyone remembers this, it didn't really straighten your hair. It took you from like frizzy to like poofy, but kind of straight, kind of not. And because like it didn't glide, you had like lines in your hair.
Yep.
Like, I look at these 13-year-olds now, I'm like, you have it so easy. Like, we had nothing of these hot tools. Okay. Like, they didn't work properly.
I had an actual hot tools, and my friends and I, like, okay, so my hair's really, really, really curly.
Like, really, like, spirally curly.
Like, very, yeah, like, very, very curly. And it's, like, very curly all the way up to the root. And when I leave it natural, it's, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, there's curl creams and gels and mousse and, like, hairspray. So it is, you know, there's a lot of curl. Anyway, I used to wear my hair, like, curly, all, like, natural all throughout high school. It wasn't really until like college that I started blow drying it and like straightening it and kind of like learning how to style it. And again, this is all based on my own insecurities from being made fun of my entire childhood. Like, oh, your hair's so curly. Anyway, every once in a while I would let my friend straighten my hair, and I wouldn't wash it first. Like, we would just like be at school, and like I would go home with her after school, and she would just take her flat iron and straighten over my like gelled crunchy hair, and I would just be like, yeah, no, this is great. And it was just this like crunchy straight, like never all the way to the root. Never all the way to the root. It was disastrous. And I all the time I'd just be like, yeah, it's fine. And she would just literally use that hot tool over like layers of like mousse and gel, and it would just like sizzle and like,
lucky you still have hair.
No, I know. Trust me. My brother also used to walk up behind me with a lighter and go on my hair, and it would go because there was so much like product in it all the time. So kids, don't do that at home.
Kids have no idea how great it is, especially now with like the like TikToks and like reels, like telling you how to style your hair, what products to use. There was none of that when we were younger. No. And it was just
I wore my hair, my natural curls, to work last Thursday. And then I went to my friend Lauren's house after work. And her daughter's four and a half now. And she's never seen me with, like, I guess, like, my natural curls. Oh, and I walked in, and she was like, she, like, looked at me. And she was like, Aunt Teresa. She's like, why is your hair like that? Like, not in, like, a mean way, but she's never seen it. So she was like, why do you have curls? And I was like, girl, this is like my natural hair. And she was like, no, your hair doesn't normally look like that. And Lauren was like, so, like, that's her natural hair. And I was like, okay, so there's like two different ways you can do your hair, right? And I was like, yeah. I can like let it air dry and it looks like this. Or I can like use a blow dryer and then it'll look how it normally does. And she was just like, it took her like a good like 20 minutes to like warm up to me. She was just like, something's like, something's off about you.
That's amazing.
It was so funny. She was like, hey, Teresa, eyeing you, like, what is happening with your head?
But yeah, like what a fucked up comment to say to somebody. I know. She likes her hair.
Yeah. As she should.
Like, I could be made, like, as you should. Like, just like you, I mean, you like your natural hair, but like you also like the way you style your hair. And if you're like, I hate my curls, that's okay too.
Yeah. But you a lot of the time though, it's like this. It's like this very like Hollywood. I mean, like, we grew up in the early 2000s where you had to be a double zero and basically wear your butt crack out types of jeans, and everybody had, like, straight, like, stick straight hair. It was, you know, it was, like, a sign of the times, which, you know, it ingrains itself in your head. Because yes. I see other people with their natural curls, and I love it. I love other people's curls.
See, and then I'm someone who does not have curls, and I like look here. I'm like, it's fucking amazing. I wish I had. Like Kate, even when Kate has her hair, like her, yeah. She always wears her natural. I'm like, I'm envious.
I know, I love it, and like I always am. Like I watch videos of like girls styling their curls, and I'm like, oh my god! And then I do it, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I like look. I don't know. Again, it's mental, but when he said that, I was like, I felt like the rage in me. I was like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker, TJ. Yeah.
Motherfucking TJ. He was just pissed off because he wanted what she had, and which was to write with him and be the ghostwriter,
yeah,
whatever it was. He probably was gonna get his name in it. I do also love how he saved her when she was like, this is your one chance to like show someone your manuscript, because she has like a mermaid book or something.
Yeah.
And she like ran up to some lady and was basically just like it had no words, but had like her script in her hand, and he like came in and was like, oh, like, and he took it as like so segued so nicely, and he's like, you do not do that. Like, what are you doing?
No, that's why, like, Charlie is like very charming. He's very cute. I liked a lot of his quirks. It was just like certain things, and like I knew that his coughing was gonna be not.
I was cracking up when he was talking about like the phone call on stage. I really liked how she wrapped it all up in a bow in the end. But yeah, like when he was coughing, it's like it's either like anxiety triggering, or or he's getting sick.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, oh, like I have like lung cancer or whatever, and he's like on stage, I really did like his speech at the end. Like he's like, I gotta take this call, and he took the call.
Yeah.
Everyone's like kind of like awkward laughing, like, what is this guy doing?
And he's like, oh, it's actually bronchitis. Apparently, yeah. Lung cancer and bronchitis look the same. I was like, and like, I get it. He didn't want to tell her. He didn't want her to have to take care of him. But I hate, like, oh my God, I hate these like self-sacrificing, like, oh,
I know.
Like, let her decide if it's too much for her.
Yeah, like, I really do understand his situation. Like, he just, I don't want to say got free from taking care of her father, because she wanted to do that right for him. And it's your dad, you know what I mean? Whatever. But I do also understand where he was coming from. Like, hey, you just walked away from this from 10 years. You're kind of just spreading your wings. The last thing I want to do is hold jump. But I'm with you. Like, hey, this is what's going on. I'm glad her agent or the agents ended up saying, like, you need to just, like, watch this and make a decision.
Yeah.
I was getting annoyed. I'm glad she went back. I'm glad she did what she needed to do.
Same.
But yeah, like, I'm glad that she saw the video and ended up coming back. But I think she was also just being stubborn.
I also think she was being an idiot when his like best friend, who's that actor, shows up at the hospital and like, oh, that's like, after Charlie's there, all of a sudden her dad gets upgraded and he's getting all this good
gourmet food. Like, you're not putting two and two together.
And I was like, girl, that man is literally coordinating all this. What do you mean?
Literally, what are you not understanding?
You're smart.
Like, what do you mean? Yeah, when she's like, oh, we didn't win that free thing or this and that. I'm like, what?
Oh, we weren't the 500th patient and we didn't get the room upgrade for that? I'm like, girl, Charlie's literally like crying in a gutter somewhere. He obviously did this.
Also, like, there's no such thing.
No, yeah, there's literally no such thing. Trust me. I've been in enough hospitals. I've never gotten a free upgrade. I'm like looking like, oh.
It was a good read. I do. I think it should be on people's TBRs. Maybe not the immediate top, but if you need like a good rom-commy book just to bring you some happiness and joy, I think this is a good story.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really cute. I liked the co-writing aspect. I know that like some people think it's cringe. I think if it's done well, and I think this book did it well, I think it's like really cute when a book is kind of like a little too on the nose, like how like they're talking about rom-coms and we're reading a rom-com and they're explaining what a rom-com is. Like, I like when it's like a little like
detail.
The word that I'm thinking of is like, I can't think of what it's actually called, but I like when it's like a little on the nose like that, which is why, like, you know, Emily Henry, like with Book Lovers, some people hated Book Lovers because it was like a little too meta, I guess. But I liked it because of that. Like, I was like, oh, wait, no, this is so cute because I can, like, this is what it is.
Allie Hazelwood would have stuck some things like that into her reads as well, like in the beginning of like what people are looking for or want with certain books. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what we want. This is exactly it. Like, you're hitting the nail, the nose on the head.
Yeah, she goes, the job of a rom-com is to give you a simulated feeling of falling in love, which is, like, why I love reading romances, because it's, like, you get to experience, like, that, like, giddy feeling over and over again. And she was, like, it should give you a swoony, hopeful, delicious, rising feeling of anticipation as you look forward to the moment when the two leads, who are clearly mad for each other, finally overcome all their obstacles, both internal and external, and get together. And it's, like, yes. And that's what they did.
Exactly it. I know.
It's all coming together.
It's a good one. I gave it, I think I, that's the one thing I can't say about Goodreads. And I'm not changing platforms, so don't tell me to.
No, I honestly, I don't like the other platforms. I downloaded Storygraph. I didn't like it. I don't think it's user-friendly. Maybe I'm just like old and stuck in my ways, but kill me, I guess.
Same. I put down 5 stars, but I put in my comments like 4.5 to 5. Like, I really did enjoy this. I thought it was a really good, well-written book.
And I like that the two main characters were like very different than the typical, like, he's not this like big, like bulky, swoon-worthy guy. Like, he's like, he's cute. He's like probably
like an average guy. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of nice. Like, there's a lot of average people. Not saying average is bad, but like,
no, but right. But a lot of these romance books, a lot of these romance books are like, he's 6'5" and he has rippling abs, but he's never been inside a gym before. Like,
what?
He has a beard, but he's also clean shaven, but he's also got a 12-inch cock. Like, so I like that. I like they're both like a little quirky. I like that. I like their relationship. I don't know. I thought it was really, really cute. It definitely like put Catherine Center on my radar. Like, I know that she has a new book coming out sometime this year. That like I've pre-ordered it because I'm like, oh, cute. But like The Bodyguard, which I've heard about before, is also by her. And I'm like, oh, like now it's kind of like making me want to
go back.
Yeah, like go back and like read her backlog. The Love and Haters comes out in May. Like, that's her next one.
Oh, she's a lot.
Yeah, no, she's a lot. I think that some of them are not. I thought that there was like in the book. There's okay, yeah. She has, I guess, officially by St. Martin's Press. Perhaps she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 books.
Damn.
Her Goodreads shows a little bit more, so I don't know if she has some that were published indie, like, or by somebody else. But those are definitely the ones that are listed in the hardcover version of the rom-commerce. But yeah, I gave it like 4. I think it was like a 4.25 for me. Not perfect, but really, really enjoyed it.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
Okay, so next week, guys, if you're listening to this, Onyx Storm is out. Don't bother us. We're reading. But we are going to be discussing it next week. And then the first week of February, so February 5th, we're going to be dropping an interview with Rebecca Jenchak on her newest book, The Comeback. So stay tuned for that. And then I feel like there was something.
We were going to do Quicksilver.
And there's all, okay, wait. Since we're here, I always say I will do this offline. And then I'm like, since we're here.
Since we're talking about it.
Okay, we're going to do Quicksilver because that, you've finished.
Not yet.
Okay, but you're almost done.
Almost done.
Sorry, hold on. Give me a sec. Okay, there's like a lot coming out in February. So, we can do Deep End. That's the new Allie Hazelwood.
I'm just looking at that one.
First time caller, I want to definitely take the time to discuss because you and I both gave it 5 stars. We read it a long time ago. I might do the audio when it comes out, but I don't think we need a full episode on it. So I think that we should look into potentially doing, so we'll do The Comeback, we'll do Quicksilver. Maybe we'll do, I'm thinking maybe we'll just do 3 books and then Deep End because it comes out early Feb and I've heard it's like really, really good. And it's Allie Hazelwood, so I know I'm going to read it right away.
True. I like it.
We'll put out an official calendar, I don't know, next week sometime. But on that note, Katie Jean, if you would do the honors of sending us out.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.